1 Kings 19, we read verses 9 through the first half of verse 13. And there Elijah went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by with a great and strong wind, which tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Dear fellow students of the Word, it seems like we are a society that is addicted to the spectacular. Think about it. If a movie is going to be a blockbuster movie, it has to be more than just a good storyline. But it has to have special effects, all kinds of features like that. When you see the preview for a movie, what is shown? All of those special effects, all of those things that make the movie look spectacular. Think of your cell phone. It has to do more than just be able to make phone calls. In fact, I think we often forget that we can still make phone calls with our cell phones. It has to do more than be able to just help us text as well, but it has to be almost like a mini computer. And as soon as that cell phone gets to be old, not as cutting edge, as happens very quickly, we need the next new thing because we're addicted to the spectacular. Our text this morning focuses on the prophet Elijah, who was undergoing tough times, as we can see from our text. The background of this was an event, though, that was something spectacular. It was just after Elijah had defeated the 450 prophets of Baal. It was quite a spectacular scene with which the Lord consumed Elijah's sacrifice with fire. By the word of Elijah, a drought that had been in the land for 3 years had been brought to an end. Pretty spectacular accomplishments. And no doubt Elijah hoped that in the face of these spectacular things, that there would be a spectacular turn of the people back to the Lord. That Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel would lead the people back to worshiping the Lord. Well, it didn't turn out that way. Ahab whined to Jezebel about what Elijah had done, and as a result, Jezebel decreed that Elijah should be killed. And so, in fear, he runs away, and where we find him in our text is sitting in a cave. He was sitting in that cave by himself, complaining. He whined about how zealous he had been for the Lord, how all of his hard work for the Lord seemed like it had been in vain. The people had thrown down the altars of the Lord and killed his true prophets. Elijah then boasted that he was the only faithful person that was left in the world, and now they wanted to kill him. In Elijah's pity party here, it's clear that Elijah was looking for the Lord to do something spectacular. Okay, if it wasn't going to be a spectacular returning to the Lord, at least maybe a spectacular display of his judgment against the people who would not turn. Elijah wanted to see the Lord do something here. Something in a very visible, measurable, powerful way. So the Lord told Elijah to go out of the cave and watch. The Lord was going to do something. And so our text demonstrates that he sends a powerful wind, an earthquake, a fire, spectacular acts from the Lord. But what does our text say in each point? But the Lord was not in any of those things. Rather, the Lord came to them to him in a still small voice. The wind, the earthquake, and the fire, as powerful and spectacular as they had been, didn't solve Elijah's problem. It was that still small voice. Weak and powerless as it seemed, as unnoticed as it seemed, that is what the solution to Elijah's problems would be. And the Lord does the same for us today. Like Elijah, we whine when our service to the Lord, our devotion to following His commandments, seems at times to be pointless. We wonder why God won't just do something to fix whatever situation we find ourselves in. We expect the Lord to do something powerful and noticeable against those who would persecute us. But instead, we get that still small voice. This is the word of the Lord which came to Elijah and which comes now to us. The word of the Lord doesn't come to us with spectacular displays of power, but with quietness and humility. The word of the Lord doesn't descend from on high with great spectacles of power, but the word became flesh to dwell among us, to serve. It was a birth unnoticed in a tiny village of peasants, disregarded by all except for a band of a few dirty shepherds. His entrance into this world was indeed a still small voice. The Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, does not bring salvation through displays of military might with which He kills all of His enemies. Jesus brings salvation humbly, by offering His life as the payment for all of our sins, for all the sins of His enemies, which includes all of us, that we might live with Him forever. That His death on the cross saves us from our sins makes no sense to those who are looking for something spectacular, a sensible plan of salvation. Even Jesus' resurrection from the dead, which of course was a truly spectacular action, was seen by a few, believed by some, and dismissed by many as a deception or a lie. Even with the resurrection, His saving act was indeed a still small voice. Now that word of the Lord comes to us, not with the spectacular miracles that we might want, not with the show of force that we might like to see, but that Lord comes to us delivering His gifts through those means of grace, the still small voice of His word and sacrament. These still small voices seem to be pretty unspectacular, but they're unspectacular in appearance only. It's not that these gifts aren't spectacular, but it's that they're delivered to us in unspectacular ways. But these are the gifts that make all the difference in the world. The Lord became flesh for you. He died on the cross for you and earned for you the forgiveness of all your sins. His word brings to us cleansing and new life and faith through the waters of baptism. His word brings us forgiveness, strength, and unity through the Lord's Supper. So listen to that still small voice. It might not seem spectacular, but it alone has the power to do truly spectacular things. Amen. Before we sing our final hymn, I'd like to join in a prayer for the family of Maynard Hammond. Maynard went home to be with the Lord yesterday morning. He was Mickey Hammond's grandfather. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we praise You that You have received Your servant Maynard Hammond to Yourself in glory for all eternity. We thank You that You have brought him to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Please comfort Maynard's family and all who mourn his passing with the glorious hope of the resurrection and eternal life. Grant them the grace to say, Thy will be done, and to know that your will is a good and gracious will, even in this present hour. Comfort them through your gospel, which promises strength and help to the troubled and weary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll close with hymn 296, verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4 of hymn 296.